Anyone who reads the Bible for the first time will notice quickly that it has two main parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. What was and what is that Old Testament in your Bible? Why is it such a big part of the whole Bible? How are we supposed to look at all of those commandments in the Old Testament? Who was it given to? Who was that old law for? And what can we learn from it today? Now, this issue is a major issue. It is a very important question because this issue affects how you see many other issues about the Bible. And so it is a basic. It fits right into the series that we're in right now that we could call Back to the Basics, or as I would prefer to say it, reinforcing or strengthening the Christian foundation. That is what we're trying to do. We're going back to these basics and these fundamentals in the Bible in order to strengthen our Christian faith. And so let us begin today by looking at Galatians chapter 3. And we want to talk about this old law and how that it was temporary and what the Bible says about it. Now, these passages that we're going to look at in this lesson are very enlightening. And so let's open up our Bible right now and let's soak in as much as we can from the Word of God as we look at Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to look at a few things that Paul says about this law. Now let's begin in verse 17 of Galatians chapter 3. Here Paul said, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect." What is the covenant? What is the promise that Paul is talking about here? Well, he's talking about the promise that God made to Abraham. Remember that God told Abraham, "In you," and that is specifically through your seed or through your descendants, "all nations will be blessed." God gave that promise to Abraham. And Paul says here that the law, that is the law that was given to Moses, was 430 years after that. And his point here, of course, is that the law of Moses was never intended to set aside that promise. You see, the promise was a promise about all nations, but the law of Moses was given to one nation, and that is the nation of Israel. Now, Paul says that the law of Moses was never intended to set aside that promise or annul that promise that God made to Abraham. Well, the question is going to arise then, well, why did God give that law of Moses then? Well, Paul answers that in verse 19. He brings up the question, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" In other words, what was the purpose of the law of Moses? And he answers, "It was added because of transgressions," that is, because of the sinfulness of these Jewish people, "till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." Now, what is that seed that he's talking about here? Well, he's talking about Christ. In verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So Paul plainly says here that the law of Moses was intended to be a temporary law. God never gave it to be permanent. He gave that law of Moses to govern the Israelite people until the Messiah came. Look at it again in verse 19 of Galatians 3. "It was added because of transgressions," that is, the law was added because of transgressions, "till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." That mediator, of course, being Moses. Now, let's go on down to verse 24, because Paul here uses one of the most powerful illustrations that you will find in the Bible about the fact that the law was a temporary law. Now, here's the illustration that Paul uses. Let's go back to the first century. In Roman culture, many families had a servant who had a special job. That servant's job was to be the guardian and the overseer of the children. He was not the teacher of the children, as many suppose today, And in spite of the fact that there are many Bible translations that try to say that he was the teacher, that was not really his job. He was not the tutor, and he was not the instructor. His job was to be a guardian. And so when those children went to school, that guardian or supervisor accompanied those children or that child. When that child went to the marketplace, this guardian went with him. When that child went into the city, the guardian went with him. When the children were at home and the parents were away, that guardian was there supervising. This guardian was more than a babysitter. His duties extended beyond what you would find in babysitters today. But he was one who supervised the welfare of those children in the home. Now, when that child in the home reached the age of maturity, when that child became of age, he was no longer under that guardian. Now, that's the illustration that Paul is using here in Galatians chapter 3. Notice in verse 24 what Paul says. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The word schoolmaster or the word tutor or teacher is not a good translation. The word guardian really signifies what this person was. He was an overseer. He was a guardian of that child or of those children. And he was a guardian. He had authority over that child until the child became of age. But once that child reached maturity, he was not under that guardian anymore. Now, that is Paul's point here. He says the law of Moses was like that guardian. That guardian was over the Israelite people until Christ came. Notice in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But in verse 25, but after that faith has come, that is after that Jesus came and gave us faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That is, we're no longer under this guardian, which was the law of Moses. So in Galatians chapter 3, we have a very clear, a very direct, and a very powerful passage of Scripture that tells us what the law of Moses was, what the purpose of the law of Moses was, and how that God intended that the law of Moses was going to be a temporary law. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to the book of Colossians, because in the book of Colossians, we find another very direct passage on this question of the law of Moses. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to go down to verse 14. In Colossians 2, verse 14, Paul is writing just after he talks about the death of Christ and what the death of Christ accomplished. And he says in verse 14, after he's pointed out that we have forgiveness of sins because of the death of Jesus on the cross, he says in verse 14 also that in dying on the cross, Jesus was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, what other law could that be? What other handwriting of ordinances could this be besides the law of Moses? Now, we're going to see a very direct answer to this. Paul is not done with this point yet. He's going to explain what he means by this handwriting of ordinances in just a few verses. But if you just look at this on the surface, what else can he be talking about here? This handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. The law of Moses could not save anybody by itself, in itself, because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins, and because nobody kept that law perfectly, aside, of course, from Jesus Christ. And so because the law condemned people, it did not save people. It didn't have the power to do that. Only the blood of Christ could do that. Now look down at verse 16. Paul said, in light of the fact that this law has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, in verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul says, because the law of Moses is not in effect today, because the law of Moses has been nailed to the cross. Don't let anybody judge you. Don't let anybody condemn you because you don't observe what the law of Moses says about meat and drink and holy days and new moon celebrations and keeping the Sabbath, which we'll talk more about in the next lesson. But for right now, just notice that here is a clear passage again that says that that old law was nailed to the cross. Now then, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Notice that we started with the book of Galatians, and we're going to end today in the book of Hebrews. That's because the book of Galatians talks about the law of Moses and how that it was done away, and the book of Hebrews is also another book that is very powerful and very plain about this subject. Now, I want you to notice with me what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 12. The writer says, "For the priesthood being changed." Now, the priesthood under the law of Moses said that the priest had to come from the tribe of Levi. That's why he calls it the Levitical priesthood in verse 11. So if you were going to serve as a priest under the law of Moses, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. That is, you had to be a descendant of Levi, who was one of the sons of Israel or Jacob. So he says that that priesthood has been changed. Now we have Jesus, who is our great high priest, and he didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. That shows that the priesthood is different now. Well, the writer says, when you change the priesthood, you can't just change that part of the law. You have to change the whole law, because the priesthood and the law are so intertwined. They are so connected that you can't just say, oh, I'll change the priesthood here and give a different kind of priest without changing the law. You can't do that. You have to change the whole system. So the writer says, the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And that change, of course, was from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The old law was done away with, and the new law was put in its place. Now let's notice one other passage in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. Hebrews 9, I want you to notice what the Bible says about these two covenants or these two testaments. Hebrews 9:15 says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament." Somebody says, well, should we really talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament? Yes, because the Bible itself does. The Bible says that Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The Bible talks about the First Testament, which is the Old Testament, and it talks about the New Testament, which is the law of Christ. The Bible is clear. The old law was done away with. And so the next question is, how does that affect certain issues today about the Bible? And that will be our next lesson.